I don't blame them. At this time, we'll ask Reverend Andrew Olson. He'll take over and present his work that he'll be doing in Tanzania, and he'll inform us of that.
See if I can get this right. It's great to be with you all today. My name is Andy, and we're here today to talk to you about the mission in Africa. My wife and I are missionaries with Lutheran Bible Translators. There are many languages around the world that don't have Bibles available. And I remember being, like you guys, a little kid the first time I heard about missionary work. And never would have thought that God would call me into this work, but he sure has. And so here's our family. My wife Alexis and I, we met in Uganda. Ooh, let's see if I can get my, here we go. We met in Uganda, and we were serving there and giving out tracts in the local language, and the people just loved getting those tracts. But we saw a great need for gospel work to go on in Africa. So that's where we began. A few years later now, we've been married 3 years. We have two daughters. Mariah, she's almost two. She enjoys animals, and she likes going outside. Lots of love and joy from Mariah. We also have another daughter, Selah. She's 3 months old. More simple interests, but we love the family God's given us, and we're so looking forward to bringing the light of Christ to the unreached parts of Africa. Maybe on a day like today in some parts of Africa, they would be sitting around the campfire, cooking breakfast, simpler times. But in many parts, there's not the knowledge of God. They don't know who Christ is. And so how can they go from that to this? How can they form a church so that their conversations can circle around God and who he is and his love and his word? And an essential part of that process is getting a Bible. Without the word of God, how can you have a conversation about God? Anything you would just, off the top of your head, you make some inference about nature and things, but without the word of God, we don't know about Christ. And so that's maybe the most important thing. Most important thing that we learn from the Bible, maybe, that you would say, is how to have eternal life. That maybe, would you agree with that? Maybe the most important thing to learn in this lifetime is how to have eternal life, how to know Christ? I think you would. But what if this was the only instructions you had for how to do that? And somebody said, hey, that's John 3:16. Oh, but it's in Latin. Sorry. Don't speak Latin. You're out of luck. Fortunately, it's been translated into English, right? We know John 3:16 because it's in English. But it wasn't always that way. In the 1300s, a man named John Wycliffe came on the scene, and he translated the Bible for the first time from Latin into English. Because of that, we now have the Bible in English. Another man, Martin Luther, translated the Bible from the first time from Latin into German. And we all saw what happened. I mean, we're the Lutheran church today because of it, right? Bible translation almost always results in spiritual awakening and revival wherever it happens. And there are many places in Africa where that process has only just begun. Today, in the 21st century, we are still reaching the ends of the earth with the gospel. And so today, as I share with you, I'm giving you an opportunity to become part of what God is doing today, a part of something really exciting, bringing revival to the ends of the world. So we're going to take a quick look at John chapter 6 here as we start. I know there's a business meeting today, so I'm going to try to, we'll try not to take too long here to, I want to share about Africa, I want to share about this. This is a story you know probably pretty well. John 6, Jesus feeding the 5,000. I invite you to look on as I read in Jesus' name. Jesus saw, lifting up his eyes, he saw a great multitude coming towards him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" He said this to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that each one may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are these for so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples and to those who were seated, likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments, that nothing be lost. Therefore, when they gathered them up, they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over from those who had eaten. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Please guide us in your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Just 3 quick observations about Christ. First off, he has compassion. I love that he sees the crowd. They're hungry. They've been listening to his teaching, and he decides to have compassion. If you think about it, wasn't it Jesus' job to feed them, was it? But yet he had compassion. Not only that, but he asks Philip, how are we going to do this? And Philip, what does he say? Well, God, looks like we have a money problem. We don't have enough money. God has compassion on the weak faith of Philip. Jesus was standing right next to him, God Almighty. But yet, how often are we like that too? God is only a prayer away. And yet, sometimes our problems seem a little too big. Don't often take them to Jesus in prayer. But he has compassion not only on the crowds, but on his own disciples, on their weakness of faith. I find great comfort in that, because I think sometimes I'm like Philip as well. And it's good to have this reminder, Jesus has compassion. Second, he uses what we bring. This little boy has just 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. What we know from the scriptures that barley was one of the cheaper grains. So this would be like looking at a boy's lunch that probably wouldn't even fill up a man, wouldn't be enough for one man. And here Jesus causes it to be enough for 5,000 men. What a miracle. But Jesus is never intimidated by the little that we have, the little that we bring to the table. He is always able to use what we have to cause it to be enough. Oops, go back. Yeah, even as you said, what are these for so many people? But Jesus was able to cause it to multiply so that it would have been more than enough. I would have loved to see the faces. I would have loved to see their faces as just loaves upon loaves upon loaves come out. And women, you know, men eat a lot, right? I mean, but yet it says that they were filled. 5,000 grown men filled as much as they wanted. That's an amazing, amazing thing. But it started with one boy, one lunchbox, one little gift. Jesus, what can you do with this little that I bring? And he's able to do even more than we think. Third thing, God is glorified in the abundance. You notice in this text there's leftovers. 12 baskets of leftovers. Why? Why leftovers? I think it's to illustrate this verse from Ephesians where it says, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. When you ask God in faith to do something, watch closely. He might even do more than you've asked him to do. Is that not true in our lives? Amen? Sure has been in mine. And so it is here in this text. We see that he's glorified in the abundance. And I'm praying for an abundance as I look at the world and see 460 million souls that are waking up today without a Bible in their language. To me, that seems like a big crowd of people. It seems like all of the people who are hungry, all 460 million people coming to Jesus, and here I am like Philip. Okay, Jesus, looks like we have a problem. We don't have enough missionaries here for all of these people. Jesus, looks like we have a problem. I don't know if we have enough money to send all these missionaries to all these people. Am I like Philip today, or am I like the boy? That's the question. Am I willing to bring what I have, or am I just looking and waiting for us to have enough money to do this? And so that's the situation today. These people are waiting. What can we do to bring them God's word? That's what they need. And I think what we'll see is God is able to use what we bring to be more than enough. This is just a graph which shows the number of Bible translations in progress. There's 2,400 in progress. And there's over 6,000 languages in the world. Say, wow, that's crazy, huh? 6,000? I thought it was just English, Chinese, French, Spanish. There's 6,000, yeah. 1,600 of those languages have no Bible portions at all available. So that's the number that we're really focusing on. 1,400 have the New Testament. 600 languages have the entire Bible. So a lot of work is being done in translation, which is great, but there's a lot of progress yet to be made. When I was 13 years old, my family moved to Africa, and I saw firsthand the effect of Bible translation. As the Bible came into this one new language, they translated the Jesus film into that language, and you can see just a sea of people here. They're all watching the Jesus film on the side of a building. We're projecting it onto the side, and they're all there to watch. It was many places we would go like this, and the buildings would be packed full and overflowing. The people were so hungry to hear about God who loved them. That was a new concept for them. And so some parts of the world are just really needy right now for the word of God to come. And I saw firsthand the power of that. So when we start as Bible translators, maybe you wonder, where do you start? We start with the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and we translate the Jesus film. That's one of the first things we do. Then we show it. We get the people who believe in Christ, we tell them, hey, let's start a church here. And many times we do. We start a church based on the people who receive Christ at a Jesus film showing. From there, our goals are to start to translate book by book. So we start with Luke, but then we're hoping to get all the way through the Bible. Many of the days are spent like this, around a table, discussing the Bible, discussing how can we translate this accurately into the language. So it's really fun. We build relationships. It's about a 10-year process to do this. We learn the language. That's about a 1-year, 2-year process. And then we translate the verses of the Bible, 31,000, one at a time. And it's really, really pretty fun. It's fun to watch that happen, where the people, for the first time, they hear some of these stories from the Bible, and they're just amazed at what God has done. It's really neat. We back translate, we proofread, we compare with the original, and then we publish the book, the Bible. Lord willing, my wife and I hope to leave next March to begin this process in Africa. We're not going to take too much time on this, but I want to just show you, there are many idioms hidden away in the Bible. Here in this passage, there's one here, face to face. It's an idiom. It's a phrase that we say, meaning you're face to face with somebody, you're having a conversation. But in some places, if you're face to face, what that means, the idiom means we're fighting. So we have to be careful not to miscommunicate what the Bible says. And so in one place, they had to use the word toe-to-toe, because that was how you communicate that you're having a conversation. The Greek, if you're interested to know, it's actually neither of those two. We had to change it from mouth-to-mouth, which is what it is in the Greek, to face-to-face in English. Because mouth-to-mouth and toe-to-toe means something completely different in English. So there are many idioms in the Bible. Lutheran Bible Translators has been doing this since about the 1980s. They've been part of 30 Bible translations so far. So neat to be part of that. It's part of the mission of the church. You know, God said, go into all the nations and baptize them, teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. So God has put this mission upon the church, and then the church has sent missionaries throughout history. In Acts chapter 11, we see in the early church, that was the model, was missionaries. And it still is the model 2,000 years later. It's how we reach the nations, is the church sends missionaries. So my family, we'd love to be part of your church's ministry to Africa. And in a way, you can think about, hey, we're reaching Africa, which is kind of neat. Speaking of Africa, let's talk about Africa just a little bit. This is the last section of our presentation, but it's kind of fun to talk to you about Africa. So here's a place called Ngorongoro Crater, and it's really a great wildlife reserve. There's 1.2 billion people living in Africa, and there's 800 languages to go. So that's a lot of work, but it's a work that can be done. We believe that God is going to raise up people to do this work, and we want to be part of that team. Hope that maybe you do too. Here it is. This is Tanzania. That's where we're going. In East Africa, if you zoom in on Tanzania, it's this island right here in the lake. So it's an inland lake, the second largest freshwater lake behind Lake Superior is Lake Victoria, and it's right there. So 100,000 people live on that island, 1,000 Christians or less. So 99% unreached. So a lot of work to be done. Yeah, I know, that's what I said too. Wow. But a lot of way to go, but God can transform a community, and I believe that he will. Here are some of the people who are working on the translation, and they're waiting for me to come join them. Those two white guys there you see are LBT associates, and they're not going to work there. They're just getting things ready as we're getting ready to go. Here's some of the colleagues working on translation work, and it kind of looks like that. You see a lot of community, and that's the idea. We work on it together. Try saying a couple African words if you'd like. Ugali. Say that word, Ugali. Yeah, Matoke. There you go, you're good at Swahili already. These are a couple of the foods they eat. This one's kind of like mashed potatoes. You dip it in different gravies or greens. This one's a little more like bananas, fried bananas. They also sleep under mosquito netting to avoid some malaria risk. But it's really an adventure. It's an adventure to visit little Kibanda huts. Say that word, Kibanda. Kibanda, that means a mud hut. So it's fun to visit people's mud huts. Oftentimes, a young man, as he's just getting started, will build a mud hut as his first house, and then he might upgrade to a brick house later. Also, many buses. It's always, the African saying is, there's room for one more. So there's always room for one more. 33 passengers, and I think it's probably rated for 20. But there's some on the roof, you know, there's always room for one more. I ask the question as we close today, how might the Lord lead you? Would the Lord put upon your heart today to be part of Bible translation ministry, perhaps? I hope that the Lord would lead you to pray. That's one way that you can get involved. Some of our prayer requests are for revival. We're praying that the Lord will demonstrate his superiority over the local gods, and for safety for our family. So if you'd like to join us in prayer, please pick up our prayer card. We also have a subscription called the Jungle Journal. There's a little notepad on our table. Please write down your name and address if you'd like to receive it. It comes out once every 3 months, and we always put pictures, we always put prayer requests. It's a great way to stay connected to the prayer needs of this ministry. We also collect photos. If you'd like to take a church photo today, we'd love to get a photo of you all or of some of you individually so that we can be praying for you as well. We love keeping track of people we meet, and it's really fun to do that. So let's get a picture together if you'd like today. Maybe the Lord is leading you to give. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, each one should give as the Lord has put upon his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So if the Lord leads you to give, please do, but not reluctantly, not under compulsion. Here's how it breaks down. Our goal is to raise $72,000 every year, and that covers a lot of expenses. That covers translation expenses, travel, a lot of things, insurance. But it takes 120 people to support a Bible translation work. And so we're hoping the Lord will lay upon 120 people's hearts to become part. Maybe the Lord is leading you to go. There's a lot of opportunities to go, many different needs. There are some of them on the screen, but if you feel the Lord calling you into missions work, please come talk to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you about it. You can visit our website at www.theyneedthebible.org. And there you can find videos, resources, and you can also subscribe to any of our things there. We took a little 360 picture of your church, and I'll put that on Google Maps so that when people see your church, they can actually see a 360 view. We're going to put some of those on from Africa so you can see an African church or an African safari. We're going to try to do that if we can. In closing, I want to tell you this story here. This is Mark Green. He's the CEO of Hobby Lobby and his wife, and I met them at a conference recently. Very rich man, very successful, but Mark Green one time was invited to a Bible dedication ceremony after the completion of a translation in Ecuador, and he said, sure, I'll go. So he went to Ecuador, he went to the church where they're having the dedication service, and he sat in the front row, and they were talking about the details of this translation. It took 40 years to complete. Now it takes 10 because of the computer. Yes. All right, but it used to take 40 years. So So the missionary took 40 years of their life to do this. And he was like, wow, that's great. Good job. 40 years, that's good. 40 years of support. You've raised faithfully. People supported you faithfully 40 years. Good. And so then he hears a little more about this translation, and you know, 30,000 people speak this language. And then he hears the words, but only 400 people read. And as a CEO who does cost balancing and a lot of analysis, he thought, wow, that doesn't add up. 400 people read? And we've just spent all this money and all this time and all this energy getting them the Bible. And said, that doesn't make sense. Why not put the money elsewhere? So many other good ministries. But then this man walked to the front. His name is Gaspar. Mark Green took this picture and he gave it to me. And he said, I always wanted to remember this. Gaspar walked to the front and he received his first Bible and he started to cry because God now spoke his language. And he said, I don't know if he's one of only 400 people that read, but I know that Gaspar's going to reach his community for Jesus. And he said that he sat in the front row and it was like, he said, it was like God came and spoke to me and said, why don't you go to the front of the church and go tell Gaspar that he wasn't a very good return on investment. Why don't you tell him he wasn't a good use of your money? And Mart said he felt convicted. And he stopped asking the question, why do this, and started asking how. How can we get those people to read? How can we help the Bible to be printed in more languages? And so now Mart is a part of our extended part of our translation team. And a good man. But I always carry this photo around because I think, who's that man in this place we're going? Maybe there's people there who are still waiting, and I hope the Lord will work through this ministry to bring God's word to them. So thank you for your time and attention. It's a great honor to be here, and it was fun to see Bjorn. I think I remember him from Galilee Bible Camp way back. Now he's at Bible school. That's really cool. Good to be here on the day that you're having such a great celebration for our newlyweds here. So thank you for welcoming us. Let me pray as we close. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your heart to reach the nations. Thank you for this church. I pray that you bless them. And please work through each of our lives to reach the people nearby us. Lord, whether that's here or abroad, please use this church, use your ministry to do your work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's time to sing. We're singing 386. Let me pass you back to Pastor Irv here.
Joy which
Again, thank you for putting this on for us. And we thank you very, very much for all that you've done for us.